This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm conducting a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Marjorie Diggs Freeman. Marjorie is in Durham, North Carolina, and I'm in Naperville, Illinois, so we're conducting this interview over the telephone. Today's date is March 4th, 2009. It is now 10:15 in the morning. And Marjorie, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk with me. Please tell me about your quilt, Yes We Can, and In My Lifetime.
Well, I actually have two quilts by that name. The second one is the one that is on exhibit in Washington, D.C. at the Historical Society. And for me to tell you about that quilt, I guess I need to tell you about the first one that I made, because the second one is based upon the first one. I was so excited when the possibility of Barack Obama running for president occurred that I knew I was going to make a quilt about him, period. There was no doubt about it. I was excited back in 2004 when he did his keynote address at the Democratic National Convention. I think the keynote address was The Audacity of Hope. And he later did a book called The Audacity of Hope. And when he made that address, I said to myself, this man is somebody really, really special. And so my book club and I read the book, The Audacity of Hope, and it talked about compromise and cooperation between Democrats and Republicans. But at any rate, I knew after reading that book that he talked about hope, that America really had the potential to offer hope to everybody. And if you look at my quilt, the first thing that you see when you look at it is the word hope, which is emblazoned across the middle of it. And so therefore, I knew if I ever did a quilt, it had to have hope written in huge letters across it. So when I decided to do this quilt, I knew I had to use that. And for me, it had to be in red, white, and blue. So I purchased the fabric for the quilt, the background fabric for the quilt, long before the well, 2008, before that Democratic convention was even held. And as I said before, I was going to make this quilt regardless of the outcome, because I believe Barack Obama has all the skills, the ability, the charisma, all the leadership, the knowledge and everything to make a great leader for our country. And so I had in the back of my mind what I thought I wanted to do, but I really wasn't sure. So during last year's convention, when he was actually nominated, just before he was nominated, I started designing the quilt. And I said to myself, how am I going to go about this? Being a relatively traditional quilter, I decided that he's such a star, I'm going to use stars. And that's basically what I did. It has stars all over it, and I didn't just want plain stars with his pictures in it, but I wanted words that sort of described him as a person, or words that stood for what he symbolized. And so I kind of took words from what I felt he represented. Now, I felt he had appealed to everybody in the United States. He cut across all segments of the population. So I thought he was a generational reconciler. So that was one of the phrases I put in one of the stars. And in his book and in the speeches that he made while he was campaigning, while he was going through the primaries, he felt that people were really hungry for unity. And so I had a unified America in yet another star. And in the speech that he gave on race in Philadelphia, I think that was in March of last year, he said that we needed a more perfect union, and that all of the people were, all Americans were looking for a change, and that it was possible for everybody in America to have social justice and economic justice. It didn't matter. And so I thought I wanted to include all of those elements in my quilt. So as I sat there designing, I actually designed the stars myself. Those things I included on my quilt. Well, I was kind of, once I looked at my background fabric and I thought about it, I thought, how am I going to do this? You know, you have one idea in mind and then you start to get it together and it really doesn't work out. And I found out that I had to put all of my stars on pentagons because the background fabric was so busy, my stars didn't show up. So I had to kind of alter my plan a little bit, which I did, but that didn't matter. And in order to go along with my theme of hope, I chose a quote that he had given when he gave an acceptance speech in Iowa when he won that primary. And the quote was about hope not being just about blind optimism, but it was something that we had to really work for and reach for. And I put that in a triangle in my quilt. Now, you may say, well, this is about the first quilt. How does that impact on the quilt that's really hanging in Washington? Well, as I say, the two quilts are really interrelated. And I had to use that, I think, on the first and the second quilt as well. And let me tell you why. I got really excited when Dr. Mazlumi, Carolyn Mazlumi, called me and said that she was inviting master quilters, black master quilters from across the United States, to participate in an exhibit in Washington, D.C., for quilts honoring Obama. Well, first of all, I could barely speak because I was a master quilter. That in itself shook me to the very soles of my feet. But aside from that, I thought, wow, that was an honor. And then I thought, well, this will be a piece of cake. I have a quilt already made. But then I said to Carolyn, I said, you know, I really can't put in this quilt that I have because it's not as good as it should be because, you know, there's some imperfections in it. And if I'm going to have something hanging in an exhibit, it has to be just so. Well, much to my surprise, a couple of days later, I get another call that says, the quilt can not be larger than 36 inches by 36 inches. Well, needless to say, the first quilt was much larger than that. So therefore, I had to redo it anyway.
What size is the first quilt?
The first quilt was 38 by 45, and it had a lot of images of Barack Obama on it. And one of the things that she said was, Roland Freeman does not want to have a lot of photo images of Barack Obama on the quilt. I thought, oh, well, so I'd have to redo it anyway. So that eliminated the first quilt automatically. So when I redid the quilt, the second quilt, I only used one image of Barack Obama. And I used the stars, but I had to rearrange it. And it worked out okay. But the second quilt is completely, the one that's in Washington, it's completely hand done. There are no machine stitches in that quilt at all, except the ones that hold the navy blue binding on. Other than that, it is all done by hand.
And why did you choose to do it all by hand?
Because I enjoy it. Some people may think I'm a mad person, but it was such a special honor for me. I wanted to make it special. And I enjoy handwork tremendously. So therefore, I opted to do the entire thing by hand. That's why I elected to do it that way. As I made the first quilt, I prayed that he would be elected to the presidency. I didn't have to pray as much for the second quilt. I had to pray that I finished it in time because I was doing it all by hand. So my prayer was a little bit different than it was when I was doing the first one. The second one, the first one was backed with fabric from Africa, but the first one was not. It was just backed with plain white fabric with little stars on it. But that was what happened with my first and second quilt, because I had to complete that second quilt, the one that's the smaller one, in 30 days. And I managed to do it in time, believe it or not.
What are your plans for the quilt?
Well, inasmuch as I have two, I have two sons. So one will get one quilt and one will get the other quilt. My initial plan for the first one was to actually give it to President Obama when he became president. And if that happens, he will get the quilt. Nothing would delight me more. My eldest son already has a quilt that I made for him. My second son does not. So my younger son will get the quilt that's hanging at the Historical Society. So that will be what happens with the two quilts. I feel that they should stay in the family. But if Barack wants one, he can have whichever one he chooses, actually.
So tell me about the words that appear in the centers of the stars.
Okay, with pleasure. In the upper left-hand corner, there's the words social and economic justice for all. I feel that is one of the campaign issues that President Obama was putting forth. And that is one of the things that he is really working for now. He is facing some terrible problems right now in our country with the economy being what it is. But he realizes, and he realizes that it's going to take a lot of time, but I felt that that is one of the problems in America right now, that there is not equality across the board for everybody. And I think that was one of the appeals to the general population. And that was one of his platforms. And I think he's working toward that. That was one group. That was in One Star. And then on the right, there's one that says, A More Perfect Union. His speech in Philadelphia, I think I mentioned that earlier, addressed racism. And in that speech, I think they called it We the People, In Order to Form a More Perfect Union. It's actually a quote. It's not an original at all. And it's a quote from the Constitution. This is what he wants for our country. It's nothing new. You know, we can always do better. America can always improve itself. We have gotten better as the years have gone on. That Constitution was written when slavery was very much in vogue. It was alive, it was well, and there are issues now that still we have to embrace. There are problems of racism still exists. We still have issues of immigration to address, and there are other problems in our country. And so we are still working toward a more perfect union. It's not a perfect country. We still have flaws. And so therefore, I felt that the fact that he realizes this and he's interested in doing things a little differently, he wants a different approach, I felt that this is something that I had to include in one of the stars. And another star, the one in the middle, Unified America. People, I feel that people really want to be unified. I grew up during the time of World War II, and there was such a unification around America in spite of all the segregation that existed and things during that time. People were still, we were like Americans. We had like a common cause. We were fighting for the same thing. I don't know if it was because we were at war as a country, but I remember saving stamps in a stamp book. Every Tuesday they sold war, like stamps that you put, and then after you filled up the book, you got a save, you got a war bond. And you saved aluminum foil, you saved tin cans and lids and things like that. Everybody was doing something for the benefit of the country. And it seems as though we got away from that. We came together at 9/11, but that kind of dissipated. We come together when there are problems in the country, but then it just kind of fades away. We come together in the time of crisis, but I think we all really need to work together all of the time toward common goals. And that's why that was there, Unified America. And the star on the left, Generational Reconciliation. Again, I think I spoke about this earlier. Barack Obama appeals to all segments of the population. He definitely appeals to the young. And he appeals to many older people because they see that he brings something new to the table. It's a new idea. We found out that the old ways of doing things aren't working as well. And so we have to look at a new way of doing our business. I worked with the campaign here for Barack Obama, you know, registering people. I worked the polls. I stood out in the rain on election day, soaking wet, but it didn't matter because I felt if he doesn't get elected, at least I can say I did what I could do for him to get elected. So he does appeal to everybody. And then in the middle, there's a huge star, and that star says, the time is now to bring real change to the country we love. And that's, I mean, that encapsulates everything that I think he stands for, because we've got to change the way business is being done in Washington, because the old way just was not working. So I think that explains what all those stars mean. To me, that was how I interpreted it. And of course, I have the one image of Barack Obama at the top center that has his picture.
Tell me about your interest in quilt making.
Well, I haven't always had an interest in quilting, but I've always had quilts around me, always. I have, I guess it started early on when I really wasn't cognizant of quilts. I have the baby quilt that my mother and grandmother made for me, still have it. As a child, we did not have purchased blankets. I had heavy quilts on me at night that my mother made. All I'd known for covers when I lived at home were quilts. During my married life, I purchased blankets and things like that, of course. And I watched my mother make quilts, no special pattern at all, just made quilts. I developed an interest in quilts in the 80s when I was a principal of an elementary school, and I needed a new activity to kind of relax myself. And I had gotten a book on a sampler quilt, and I was determined to try all these different blocks and to make a quilt. And again, I did it all by hand. I was going to do these blocks all by hand. Not that I didn't have a sewing machine, because I've always had a sewing machine. I used to make everything I wore, including coats, believe it or not. But with the coming of children, you don't have time for that. But at any rate, I picked up this book and I started making these blocks off and on to just relax myself after a stressful day. Well, over the years, I finally got these blocks finished and put together in a queen-size quilt. I won't tell you how many years it took, but I got it together. And by the time when it was time to put all of these blocks together for this queen-size quilt, I knew I had to use the sewing machine to put the sashing on, or I would lose my mind, which is what I did. So I used the sewing machine for the drop around the edge of the bed. And I also use the sewing machine to help make the shams for the pillows. That was in 88, I guess, 89, when I took early retirement. And after that, I did, like, quilted Christmas stockings and small wall hangings, things of that nature. And I was into other kinds of crafts. I was in upstate New York on the Vermont border where it was cold, so I was doing more knitting. But then I moved to North Carolina. And I left my other needle crafts and really started quilting. When I arrived here, I joined a group called The Lynx, and they were building a habitat house. And the people in this habitat house, the Lynx decided it would be nice to give them a quilt. Well, they looked at me, and I said, oh, of course, I can lead that. And so I helped certain ladies in the Lynx and in another group that we were working with in putting together, making blocks and putting together a quilt for the people who were going to be the owners of the house. And that was the beginning of my quilting. That would have been 1992. And then I joined a group. You know, I did quilting on my own off and on. And then I joined a group called the African American Quilt Circle. And boy, oh boy, those ladies were so inspiring, and it was so exciting, I haven't stopped. So that was where, I guess, my interest in quilting really and truly began. It was like being ignited, being a firecracker being lit. So I guess I've been quilting for, really seriously quilting for about 10 years. So as I think about, you made me really think about it, how long I've really been serious about quilting. But as I said before, quilting has always been a part of my life. My mother was making a quilt, year before she died. But I've always had them around me. They've always been a part of my life.
You mentioned belonging to the African American Quilt Circle. Do you belong to any other art or quilt groups?
Oh, indeed I do. I belong to the Durham Orange Quilters, which is a group of ladies that live in Orange and Durham counties here in North Carolina. And last year and this year, I've been elected to be their workshop chairperson. And that's a very interesting group in that we have speakers every month or an activity going on every month. And I have the exciting job of having teachers come in to do workshops for us. And that's been very exciting and eye-opening because I get a chance to kind of research and look and see what's new and what's out there. And it's been very mind-expanding for me. So that group has 200 members at least. And the African American Quilt Circle has 60-plus, I would say. That group is based in Durham, North Carolina. Yeah. And I'm the program chairperson for that group. So it kind of keeps me busy.
What advice would you offer someone starting out?
Pardon?
What advice would you offer someone starting out?
Well, I look for people who are really interested in quilting. What I have done with people who really show an interest I give them some basic instruction on how to put things together. I have actually taught people who don't have a sewing machine how to quilt. Once they have the basic instruction, I let them go on their own, and I answer their questions. And I will tell you why I do it that way. I was self-taught through books. And I learned the traditional way of quilting. And I was very busy matching those corners and all of that. And what it did to me, Karen, was it stifled me later on. I learned all the skills of the quarter inch and the matching and all of that, which was good background, don't get me wrong. But what happened when I wanted to break away from that and do art quilts and do things on my own, whereas part of that was beneficial, it also kind of held me back. Because I didn't feel as free, and I couldn't let go of the traditional ideas as much. So I have found that if I just give the basic information, the learner is much freer and is able to do things on their own much more quickly than if I instruct them on all the little ins and outs of traditional quilting. I don't know if you can understand that or not.
Oh, I can. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Uh-huh. That's what I found. So I have sought out, not sought out, but when I talk to people and I find that they have a truly sincere interest in quilting. That's what I do. And I work with a lot of people one-on-one. I even taught a 10-year-old girl how to quilt. She made a pillow for her grandfather, who has since died. And the joy that gave her and gave him was remarkable. Another 15-year-old girl made a wall hanging for a high school project that was descriptive of her life. And that was very rewarding for me as well as for her. She's a student, she's actually a senior at Spelman now. So all of those things are rewarding for me. And I did not have to give a whole lot.
Shit. I lost her.